As the pandemic drags on, environmentalists are wondering what effect it's had on our air and oceans. David Ford says worldwide, it's a mixed bag. Ford is founder of the environmental literacy organization Soul Buffalo and the Ocean Plastics Leadership Network, a group which brings activists and industry together to find solutions to ocean plastic pollution. Dave, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, Tanya. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
How bad has all of this gotten with COVID-19?
So it's interesting because there's been this environmental silver lining around COVID-19. Carbon reduction is like 4 to 5%. We've seen wildlife markets around the world get shuttered. Vietnam completely shut down their wildlife market. And then we're also looking at air quality improvement around the world. But with ocean plastic, things have just gotten significantly worse. There's 30% more waste coming into the system, all the different takeout. There's 129 billion face masks being made every month, enough that you could cover the entire country of Switzerland with face masks at the end of this year if trends continue. And a lot of these masks are ending up in the water. They look like jellyfish. Turtles and other wildlife are eating them, and there's just no sign of that slowing down. And most of these masks are made of nonwoven plastic.
We've discussed on this program how very little of the plastic we use is actually recycled, but how have recycling programs that we hear often about in the U.S. been affected by the pandemic?
Well, not just in the U.S., but all over the world, we're starting to see recycling programs start to shut down. Budgets are getting cut. Peoria, Illinois, is one of the early ones that we've heard has made significant cuts here. There was rumors that New Orleans was going to have huge recycling cuts. I think we're still waiting to see really what the fallout is. In the Southeast Asia, where so much of the waste is coming in, we're starting to see, you know, recycling programs shuttered, waste picking communities, you know, operating at 50% or actually shutting down. They are the last line of defense between plastic and the environment.
Last year, I spoke with Unilever Chief Research and Development Officer Richard Slater about the company's pledge to cut its use of non-recycled virgin plastics in half by 2025. And he drew on the industry argument that plastic packaging is lighter, which means less shipping and therefore fewer dangerous emissions that cause climate change. Let's listen.
If you simply take the simplistic view of trade-off with another material and replace all plastic with glass or metal, it's going to have adverse environmental impacts in other sources. So, you know, weight, transport, energy use, etc. So we have to take a balanced view.
Does this argument make sense to you, Dave?
It's really a paradox in itself, right? I mean, plastics are lightweight. They can result in dramatic fuel savings. That's certainly the industry narrative around all this. You know, and also, like, where we're at right now, I mean, your plastics are in the oceans, they're in the deepest parts in the Mariana Trench, they're on mountaintops. There's studies that it's raining plastic. It's inside of our body. So it's a super material that makes so much possible for our existence. Then on the other hand, it's also, you know, just absolutely everywhere. And we haven't been able to figure out how to control the way it gets into the environment.
Mm-hmm. You say transparency is one way to move forward toward a solution. What exactly do you mean by that? And what do you see? I mean, do you see any signs of us getting there?
You know, transparency is definitely, I think, one of the lowest hanging fruits. And we are starting to see some pretty interesting things that are happening from industry specifically. The World Wildlife Fund has this initiative called Resource Plastic, which is all about getting big companies to go transparent about how much plastic waste they're putting into the, you know, basically they're making, where it's ending up or where they think it's ending up. So just this past June, they put out their first report, and Keurig Dr. Pepper and McDonald's and Procter & Gamble and Starbucks and the Coca-Cola company went transparent about how much plastic waste they were producing, geographically, where it was all going, how much of it was recycled, how was from recycled content, how much from virgin content. And it's a huge step forward because for us to figure out what we're going to do with it, we have to figure out how much is getting out there to begin with. So, you know, from our perspective, it's extremely courageous as well for these five companies to really, you know, pull the curtain back on their operations because it, you know, it opens them up, you know, to a lot of, you know, activist organizations. So there's this Transparency 2020 report that just came out from the World Wildlife Fund is pretty incredible. And their goal is to have 100 of the biggest companies in the world do the same thing by 2030. And, you know, we just would love to accelerate that even further. It's like, how can we get 1,000 companies by 2030? Because with respect to this issue, I don't think we still want to be talking about supply chain transparency 10 years from now. Like, we really need to accelerate across the board with how much of this is getting into the environment.
David Ford is the founder of Soul Buffalo and the Ocean Plastic Leadership Network. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.